Warning, the following podcast is meant for comedy. We do not condone or support any criminal activity or crimes mentioned. Enjoy yourself.
True criminals!
Okay, so you're recording?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the show. I'm Eric.
And I'm Scotty.
And this is True Criminals. If this is your first time tuning in, it's a weekly podcast where we talk to regular people about their criminal activity. Regular people like you and me, your neighbors, your friends, your countrymen, just regular ass people about the crimes they've committed. Okay, Scott, so I messed up our audio for our guest Out of This World. I accidentally uploaded the wrong file and I accidentally saved the bad file over the good file, so I lost the audio completely.
Oh, brother.
And so I was like, fuck, we can just re-record it. We're going to have to do a flawless re-recording because I don't have that much time to go through and edit a bunch of shit and do all this stuff. So I was like, we're just going to have to be gold all the way through. We're just going to have to do a new intro and outro.
Sweet.
Flawless comedy the whole way through.
I've got my gold shoes on, so.
And then as we were logging in, I found a copy of the old audio.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Sweet.
So now I'm like torn because I kind of I don't know which audio. We could do a solid gold re-record.
Let's just do a solid gold one.
Okay, do it.
Because like the eye drop stuff was pretty lame.
Yeah, that's okay. So here's what I was going to go through and say. There were some things in there in that old audio that I was like, it was longer than the interview for sure. And like, yeah, there's weird shit in it. Even editing it, I was like, what the fuck are we doing, man?
Yeah. I mean, like the eye drops, it was fun. I can reenact the eye drops now in a much shorter time. You're like, okay, I'm putting them in. Ah! And I laughed a bunch. And that was it. But we like really tried to like stick to the bit, and it made me think of like little kids like putting in different foods from the refrigerator and being like, now drink it.
Yeah.
It
was
dumb.
Okay. Okay, so to clarify for everybody listening, I lost the audio and I uploaded it yesterday. So there's people that it was out for about 12 hours before I caught it. And most of that was overnight, so it wasn't that many downloads. But I deleted it first thing this morning, tried to look and find the new audio. However, the guest, Chancellor K. Jackson, author of 14 Days in Beijing,
yeah.
He had already like retweeted it, posted it. And
did you reach out to him?
Not yet.
What a dick.
Dude, I've been busy all day.
He's like sharing it all over the place and people are looking at him like he's dumb because you.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is like he's asshole. Like on the like forum that we actually met up and talked on, he's actually trending there at number one in like the country. So he's like the hottest commodity in podcasting right now. And I botched his audio. So.
You knucklehead.
Okay. So we're going to do a quick solid gold re-record. There's a lot of stuff we can pass over. For example, we call him Out of This World. That was the video game name we chose for him. However, we talked about that game for 5 minutes.
Yeah, because you kept trying to sell me on how awesome it is, but all you did in the game was get out of jail.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I chose the game is because it's a Sega game where you start off in a birdcage on another planet, and you escape, and then you run around. I don't know what else happens in the game, because I never beat the first level.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of talking about it that didn't need to happen.
Yeah, so we're done with that. Now you know. Now you know why I chose Out of This World.
And now, for this one, I'm going to tell you how many times I've rolled doubles in Monopoly to get out of jail.
Okay, so yeah. We can skip past all of that. Yeah, the whole eye drop thing. In a previous episode, we said that we were going to... I just being stupid said I was gonna take eye drops on the show. You're blowing smoke in my face, man. Scott just blew a bunch of smoke in my face, guys. I mean, you don't get the visual, and this may also be bad audio because we're over Zoom.
Yeah.
But I got one of those interactive computers that blows smoke at you. So yeah, there's that. I don't use eye drops, and so I'd only used Visine one time before, and we talked about that a little bit, and how the first time I ever used them, it was on the toilet, and how I sit backwards on the toilet like I'm in Dangerous Minds. But that's, we actually talk about how we sit on the toilet for like 3 minutes.
I have this, I don't know, ever since the THC drink, I really like the idea of anything coming up in conversation. And on our next episode, Eric's going to try it.
Yeah. So what we did, I dropped some Roto-V eye drops in my eyes. And yeah, they burned. And I said, ow, ow. That's it. Scott laughed at me. It was probably a lot funnier for him than it was for anybody that would have heard it. So there's that. Now, we didn't really go through any corrections. We didn't have any crime news. So it was a lot of banter. And I think we can do better. So part of the reason it was botched was because I was trying to rush to get that episode out. Yesterday was my birthday. And
oh,
I didn't want
to.
Oh, thanks. And so I was like, in the episode, I say, oh, this episode, we recorded it a week before. I said, oh, this episode's going to come out on my birthday. And you said, oh, happy birthday, just like that. And so I'm rushing. I'm like, oh, I can't put this out late. If I put it out on Friday, or even if I put it out at like 6 o'clock, it'll already be Friday in another time zone. So just rushing. I botched it, fucked it up, put out a bad episode. Here we are. It's Friday now. We're recording the gold standard for intro and outro. And my birthday's over, so there's no rush. And I won't have to edit this because it's gold standard. Boom. Okay. Now, I do have some crime news. Yesterday was my birthday, right? If you were to add up the total number of years I've been alive, what would the sum be? Scott, I'm asking you.
He's already texted this to me. It's some 41.
Oh, yes. Such a bad joke. Yeah. Okay, that's not the crime news. Actually, the joke might have actually been a crime news. Yesterday, on my way to work, I got pulled over.
What?
And I got a ticket. Yep.
Why?
Failure to stop for a school bus.
Oh, yeah. What a dickhead, man.
Hold on. Okay.
No.
I don't run past school buses. Now, to be fair, I mean, I'm accepting it. I did. However, the stop sign came out right as I was like, I mean, I was, you know, it's like when the lights turn in yellow and you're like, I got a choice to make. I got to stop kind of hard, or I got to accept that it's going to turn red as I'm blazing through the intersection. I made that choice and I passed the school bus, and they had a roadblock set up to catch people for this school bus because it was technically on a state highway. You know how they have those, like the highway will branch off and it'll have like alternate highway that runs through the town, and it'll actually be just like a giant main street. So this is a 6-lane road. The bus pulls off into an extra turning lane. So technically there's 4 lanes. It's in the farthest right lane. And I can see it. I stop for this bus all the time. I can see it. The lights are yellow. I know it's probably going to pop its stop sign really soon. And I'm like, I'd have to stop pretty fast. I was like, I'm just going to pass it. And the sign came out right before I got behind the bus. And I blew past it. And I could see there was a cop up ahead. So I slowed down a little bit and watched it. And then I saw there was a cop that was completely sideways, blocking a lane of traffic. Both of them flipped their lights on. Cop, one of them gets out, starts directing me over toward this church. I pull into the church, and then 9 other cars pull in behind me. Not cop cars, regular cars, because 9 more people blew past the school bus. They were probably following my example, I'm sure.
They pulled over multiple people by standing there?
Yeah, 10 people.
What?
Yeah, they got 10 of us. I was the first one through. And then, yeah, a whole slew of people blew past it right after me, and they all got pulled over and ticketed too.
I mean, like, if you were the first one, okay. Why the fuck did those other dummies pull over, though?
I mean, the trap was a little further up. I mean, it wasn't, like, immediately after the bus. But, I mean, they were clearly there to catch people. Like, maybe the school bus drivers complained before. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't blow past school buses. I stop behind them all the time. I acknowledge this was a mistake. However, here's where I am really annoyed. The ticket is $900.
What? Oh, man. Did you fucking pass them in a hospital zone or something?
No, man. I was disgruntled. I almost started mouthing off.
Did you cuss the kids as they were getting off or something?
All I did was play that game where I'm like, it's about to turn red. I know it. I'm going to take my chances and pass through. Yeah. And it's a huge road. This is not like a two-lane road right in front of the school where there are kids crossing the street all over the place.
Right.
It's a state highway. Like, there are no kids crossing from across the street to get to this bus. So, I don't know. I acknowledge what happened. I'm thinking about contesting it, though.
Okay, maybe I got this a little confused in my head. There was a cop, like, blocking the streets, is what you said?
Yeah, like, because it's a three-lane road, his car was sideways in the furthest lane. So he was blocking one whole lane, and he was outside his vehicle already. He reached in, flipped on his lights, and started walking into the middle of the highway to direct everybody over.
Okay, all right.
And there was a second cop that was parked in front of him, but a little further back. And he flipped on his lights, too. And I think he was there to, like, maybe chase after anybody that tried to just blow by the cop. Because I could have just, the guy that was out of his vehicle, I could have, like, not turned into the church and just said, oh, fuck
yeah, off. Yeah, that's what I was thinking in my head. That's why I called everybody else dummies.
No, there was a cop ready to pursue anybody.
Because one time, I was in high school, probably like 10th or 11th. And me and a group of friends, we were out, and we were on a main street. It was probably around midnight. And we were split up into two different vehicles, and the two drivers started, like, racing. And when I say a main street, like, it was only, like, two lanes. It went through town, you know. And, yeah, they were just kind of, like, playing around racing, and a cop fucking, like, you know, throws rocks getting out of this drive and gets behind the friend that was in the truck and pulls him over. But, like, as he does it, like, because he'd already, like, kept going, whereas the vehicle that I was in slowed down extremely, you know. So the cop passed us, got the truck that was in front of us, which was, like I said, a group of our friends, and pulls him over, and, like, as we drive by, the cop's standing there with a flashlight, signaling, like, he's got our friends pulled over in a, I think it was, like, a battery, car battery shop, in their parking lot, and he's waving, signaling for us to pull over.
And you just blew by. He just
didn't. No, I mean, like, he stayed the same.
No, I thought, all this stuff went through my head. Yeah, all this stuff went through my head. I thought, I'll just blow past it. But then there was the other cop that would have, he was just sitting in his vehicle. So he would have, he would have got me. And then those other nine people probably would have just blown by and been fine. I could have taken one for the team, I guess.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was saying. It was like, you, I get if you were the first one, but everybody after that, like, even if they got pulled over further down the road, I feel like they could get away with, like, we thought you were going after that dude. You had him.
Yeah. So, and my other thought was, I pulled into this church and, like, a whole bunch of cars pull in. And then, like, I'm the first, because it's an empty church parking lot, I don't even obey the lot, like, parking lines. I just pull in. I just pull in and I'm covering three parking spots.
Man, you should have, like, done a couple of donuts and come to a screeching halt as your stop. Okay.
Well, I gotta get a couple more things out there. Okay, so, once again, yesterday was my birthday. part of the reason I had troubles with the editing and stuff was because I was so time crunched because a friend of mine took me out for my birthday on Wednesday, where I drank a lot. So Thursday morning, I'm a little hungover, and then I pull into this lot, and I'm like, ugh. And I'm grumpy. I just throw my car across three lanes of fucking parking in this church. And then everybody else, I didn't even know other people were pulling in. Everybody else pulls in and lines up perfectly in the slots, right? And I'm facing them. So I'm like, my car's sideways. I'm looking at a line of cars that are parked, and I'm like, I should probably park correctly. So I pull my car out, and I'm like, why? And I go down to the end of the line. So now I'm going to be the last car parked. And I'm like, why am I going to park? I should just pull around behind the church and get out of my car and walk away. what can they do? I was like, I pulled around. I park in a parking spot back there. Did they memorize every car that pulled in here? I mean, even if they towed my car, it would be cheaper than paying a $900 fucking dollar ticket. So I don't know, but I didn't. I sat there, and I almost said, "Man, it's my birthday."
Oh no!
I didn't say it. I was like, "Fuck it, I'll pay the $200 ticket." Fuck these guys, and I'm getting grumpy. And I almost started mouthing them. I didn't. And I would have. I guarantee if I knew it was going to be a $900.
Yeah.
If I'd known. Yeah, $900. I feel like now I wish I had. Like for $900, like, oh, King Koopa, our guest in the past, said, you know, you're already getting the ticket. Yeah, the bad part's over. You might as well have some fun with it. But.
Be real subtle about it. Just like shit talking with sarcasm.
Yeah. So that's one of those things, you know. I mean, I know you talk about like the speed traps and the cops. We've mentioned it on the show here several times. The cops being assholes just sitting there. I understand this one. I understand it's a school thing. Kids are crossing. You know, yeah. I'm the asshole. I get that.
And you're still feeling alcohol effects, which kind of made it funnier. That, you know, blew past a school bus full of kids while they were letting them off, and now, got a ticket in a church parking lot.
No, you have to understand, this was a highway. Multi-lane highway across the, you know, at a regular school bus stop at a school, or like on a regular street where kids are going to school, it's like two lanes, and sometimes the kids that are going to that bus stop live across the street, so they have to cross the street to get to that bus stop.
Yeah.
This is a alternate highway route. It was pulling in to go into to pick up kids at an apartment complex. Across the street from it is a Thrift Giant. So there's not kids coming out of the Thrift Giant like, oh, wait for me. I'm running across the highway to get to my bus stop. No. There's no kids that were going to come onto that side of the road. And I made that choice in the... I was aware of the situation. This wasn't man, I'm caught. I wasn't paying attention. No, I was aware. I saw the bus. I was like, oh, it's yellow. It's going to turn red right about the time I'm there. Should I? And I chose. I made the decision that there was no risk and to pass the bus. And it was the wrong day to make that decision. So.
Well, that story... And the fact that we've been getting a few comedian guests on lately reminds me of this time years ago. You and I were going to write a comedy set, and we were both going to perform it in different states. And one of the jokes, like, I don't know, we had ideas and stuff, but never, like, refined it into a joke. But one of them was, like, you know, when, like, you drink really hard the night before, and then the next morning you're still feeling it, you're like, put the keys in the car, and, man, I shouldn't be driving my kids to school like this.
Yeah, I remember the joke, yeah, something like that. Something about the worst part about, yeah, when you drink so hard, you're drunk, you're still drunk when you wake up the next day. The worst part about that is that you're driving your kids to school drunk or something like that. Yeah.
I think there's another one of the, like, I don't know. Never mind.
So, yeah, there's that. One thing I wanted to mention about that is that $900 is a lot to pay for a ticket. Now, I kind of just swallowed it and said, ah, fuck it. I'll pay the $200. This sucks. And then when I got hit with $900, I was like, fuck. Now, I feel like that's a bit excessive. I understand the seriousness of the situation, but I think $500 would have made me learn my lesson. I mean, I really learned my lesson. I will never, ever make that decision again. But, you know, $900 is a big pill to swallow. Well, yeah. $500 is also, but not as big. I can still learn a lesson. And there are other people who $900 is going to cripple them, you know? So,
yeah. I got a ticket forever ago. And, like, I usually don't get pissed off about, like, getting the tickets or anything. Because usually I'm like, yeah, I was speeding or whatever, you know? But this one was, I'd seen a cop tucked away trying to catch people speeding on this really big open road that has a really low speed limit, and it makes no sense. And people always speed down. Anyways, I did the flash, light flash to let people know, and he saw that and pulled me over for it. And I got a ticket for it. And the thing that makes me so mad about that is that it, like, shows how, like, it's all fucking money scam, every bit of it, because the purpose clearly isn't that you're stopping people from speeding, because I already accomplished that with the light flash. It's that they weren't getting fucking money for catching people, and it's bullshit, and I'm getting mad again just talking about it.
Now, that is bullshit. What was the ticket? I mean,
It wasn't, like, warning people about cops. It was some bullshit about, like, misuse of lights or something.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And, like, he straight out called it. He was like, you let everyone, that's real nice of you and everything. He knew what it was about, and he wasn't playing stupid about it. But then he, like, eventually his speech, like, kind of turned more towards, like, yeah, you know, you could really obstruct somebody's vision with that or something, you know.
Yeah. That's horse shit. Yeah, so, crime news.
Yeah.
I know you said you have something, but if you want, let's hold on that for the next intro and outro.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's kind of long.
Okay. So, there we go. That's the intro. Coming at you now is
Out of This World.
Yeah, with Chancellor K. Jackson, and here we go.
Going.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to. So, welcome to the show. Now, you know, we normally record anonymously, but you don't have to. I know you have a book that you probably want to pitch and stuff like that. Sometimes people reveal themselves at the end of the show just to promote their website or whatever it is they want to do. We have a lot of anonymous guests because people tell crazy stuff. You know, sometimes they want to tell about the time they were shooting at somebody or something wild. And yeah, they don't want to have their name out there associated with that. But yeah, it's a comedy podcast, but for the most part, we're just laughing about, you know, dumb shit that we've done. Okay. So, I mean, in the very first episode, I told a story about how I accidentally robbed a house once. So, I mean, it was an accident. Someone told me we were going there to collect stuff. Well, not really collect stuff, but someone misled me to believe what this house was.
Dang.
Yeah. But I got a cool little keyboard out of it. So.
Tell me.
I know, the only thing I really know, I mean, unless you have more stories to tell, the only thing I really know is, yeah, you had an incident in Beijing.
Yeah. Got locked up or brought out there.
Okay. What was that for?
Weed. No, I had 1.4 grams.
Okay, okay. I was just watching.
Yeah.
1 gram?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, locked up 15 days, locked up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 15 people in one cell, not a wooden bed.
How did you find it? I mean, from what I gather, like, they cracked down pretty hard on that stuff over there.
That's, I wasn't looking for it. It found me. That's what's crazy. I went over there. I didn't think you would be able to find it, but, man, it was just the people that I was around, like, my coworkers and colleagues, like, they had been out there 2-3 years, so they, I'm like, damn, they've been using it, and I'm like, damn, I didn't think it was would be like this, but shit, it was. It was. Made trying to find them. Like, yeah, I was out there for 6 months total. The story's been my last 14 days. So that shit was fun, bro. Like, just, and I was teaching and shit, so just working, living, then going on adventures and shit, like just exploring China. I'm not from China, so it's like everything's an adventure. So
yeah, yeah.
That shit was lit, bro. Like going to clubs, all that shit was fire. China was lit. Lit, but you know what I'm saying? Ended up getting arrested on April 4th, 2019, and went to two precincts. First precinct was very brief, like was only there for not even an hour. And then we went to the second precinct, and that's where they placed me in the holding cell. They inducted my interrogation in like this metal chair that looked like an electric chair. Like, they took me downstairs to this room and strapped me to this chair. Really goddamn locked me into this chair. It's metal. It locks your ankles, your thighs, your waist, your chest, and your arms, all of those things like this.
That's crazy.
All into that person like this. After that, they released me from it, had me sign and I can thumbprint the transcription of the interrogation. Took my mugshot, got my whole handprint, and then 14 hours later, handcuffed and holding cell, they came back and got me. That's when they took me to the evidence room, scaled up the weed I had, it was 1.4 grams, and had me sign a fingerprint. Some more documents, and they put me back in the van. I'm like, okay. They had me get back dressed in my regular clothes and everything. So I'm like, damn, where we going? They ain't for let me go. That's when they see me to the actual jail girl. And there, see her open the door. All I see is, like, it's 4 o'clock in the morning at this point, so everybody's asleep for the most part. There's two cellmates standing, like, taking and watch, like, watching the inmate sleep. The rest of the inmates sleep. They also, like I said, they sleep on wooden beds. So, like, it's pretty much just wooden bunks. They got, like, cubbies and stuff underneath them. It's, like, nine, and it's nine of them. So, it's two people standing watching the other 13 squeezing on the nine. And, like I said, it looked like a slumber party or a sleepover. You know what I'm saying? Just, like, it's a limited amount of space, so we got to make room. That's what it looked like. Like, that's all I see. But these are random grown men. So, I'm just like, damn. Walk in the bathrooms on the left. It's its own room, but the walls are glass, so you can see straight into the bathroom. It's a squat toilet, like a toilet you got to squat over. Sink. The shower was pretty much a water hose with a shower head on.
So, did you get arrested by yourself, or were your other friends or colleagues or work people with you?
I was pre-gaming before I was getting ready to go. I was just by myself, so.
Okay, so I don't know that much about weed. I didn't smoke a lot and never bought a lot when I was a kid. What is, like, 1.4 grams? How much is that? Is that like,
that's like
a joint or less?
You could probably get a couple joints out of a gram, depending on how you roll. Yeah, so it's just like. It's not a lot. Like, I'd say probably, like, the size of a 50-cent coin.
Okay, okay.
Like, a good nugget. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need that. It wasn't much at all.
How is the weed there? They have good strains?
Yeah, it was definitely some, like, mid, you know what I'm saying? It was some low grade, for sure. But I only had like actual like flower. I only had that twice. Aside that, we were smoking hash. Well, the hash, man, imagine smoking, but getting geeked and then just we going to the art district of Beijing, just exploring. Like, bro, that shit was so much fun. So that was so good. But yeah, it was me. We was smoking hash. I only had twice. And first time I had blood, I was with this college student, foreign exchange student from Africa. He was going to school out there to study Mandarin. And I met him at the, I did a photo shoot out there and everything for this magazine. So he was one of the models. So that's how I met him. He brought some actual flour over. So that was my first time smoking flour over there. And that shit was a vibe too. We was just in the apartment the whole time. I was like, man, I can't. I was so high. Since it's been so long, it had been so long that I actually like smoked actual blood. I'm like, damn, bro, I'm faded. Just like, damn, bro, I'm so far from home, bro. Like, I'm on the other side, bro. Like, solid 15 hours by flight. Man. I'm out here. Like, that's when they really settled in. Like, bro, you're out here, bro.
Previous to that, had you ever been arrested, like, in the States?
It was my first time ever getting arrested.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know if you were like, you went in thinking like, oh, yeah, I know what this is going to be like. And then, like, oh, no, I had no fucking clue what this is going to be like.
I played football, bro. I played college football. I was like, this is what? This is my first experience ever getting like in trouble.
You're getting arrested in China, and everybody, like, getting arrested in another country. Just from movies and what you hear, like, it just seems like it fucked up, you know? So, I mean, was that going through your head the whole time? Like, oh, shit.
I'm just, like, holding myself accountable. And really, you know what I'm saying? That's it, just holding myself accountable and just, like, really disappointed in myself. But at the same time, it's like, shit, everything gonna be straight. I just don't know where, how the fuck I'm gonna get out of this situation. Like, nobody has given me, I haven't received any information up to this point. Like, I ain't asking questions, so I'm just sitting.
The communication, like, they have, like, a translator? Are you fluent, or?
Hell no. Like, I when it was in my apartment, like more officers ended up coming. One of the officers was fluent in English, but he was just interrogating me on about the flower, and the other officer was when I was in the second precinct, and that was during the interrogation. You know what I'm saying? Them the only two people that could really speak like fluent English, and they just pressing me about the flower. They don't, you know what I'm saying? They ain't talking about nothing about how this process gonna work, none of that. They just wanna know where I get the weed from. Who I get, that's all they wanna know. Aside from that, there wasn't no nothing else to say.
Good. So yeah, that seems terrifying.
I mean, I knew I was gonna be good. I was just like, I just don't know how this shit gonna play out. So it's just, man, it's you constantly on edge for sure. Just damn, bro, like
I can't imagine a scenario where anybody walks me to a metal chair with braces and straps and shit on it. Were you hesitant to sit in it at all?
Oh, hell yeah. As soon as they opened it, I looked at them. I'm like, I gave them a look like, bro, y'all really want me to sit my ass in this chair? Like, they looked at me like, hell yeah. So I sat my ass down. I sat my ass down. I ain't gonna be. Last thing I need to be doing is being belligerent and rebelling. And,
right.
It's not gonna be. And I had locks at the time, like, that won't be a good look. So I'm like, cordial, let's be coachable, honestly. Let's just be compliant, goddamn.
So, yeah. What did they, like, your pod or whatever that they put you in, was it like filled with other like tourists and Americans or people from other countries, or was it like
just any 3 days? The first 3 days, of course, communication is non-existent. You know, so definitely want to, like, they intrigued and want to get to know me and about my story, but, and vice versa, but it's like, but that language barrier, I'm like, it was quiet. So I'm just, first three chapters, I'm just like all in my head, like, just reflecting and reflecting some more. Reflecting. I'm locked up 24/7, so all I got is one bowl and one spoon, but I ain't got nothing else. And then on the fourth day, that's when they moved me to a new cell, just because everybody in the first cell I was in, well, not 12 people got released on my third day. So they left three of us. So I'm like, I know they had enough leavers in this whole cell. Just I know they're not just going to leave three of us in this whole cell. So they came and got us and moved us to two cells down. And I'm walking in. At first, I'm thinking they can let us go. But then when he started unlocking the other door, I'm like, damn, bro, fuck. I don't feel like getting used to no cell maze, bro. I'm not trying to go through that whole process again. And he opened the door. I see people in there, but the room, I'm like, okay, there's a lot more supplies in this room. For sure, they got stools and shit they can sit on. There's art on the wall. I'm like, okay. It's a different vibe. Sure, it's still the same setup, but it's a little bit more, you know what I'm saying, just furnished, I guess. So, first person I see, I make eye contact with, is this big-ass dude. Like, I think he looks European. Come find out he's Russian. Big-ass dude. He like 6'3", 6'4", 250. You know what I'm saying? Shaved bald head. He got scabs and shit all on his face. But he just look at him, and mind you, he laying down on the bunks like this here. He cozy. They're not allowed to lie down unless it's time to take a nap or go to bed. And he's the only one lying there. Fuck. He's the only one lying. Everybody else sitting down and standing up. He's lying down. I make eye contact with him. I look down at the ground. I'm like, bro, what the fuck is... Keep walking. And then I just hear, hey, man. Look up. There's a Chinese American dude, like, you know what I'm saying, waiting for me to come start talking to him. So he was an English speaker from California. He was Chinese American from California, so he could speak English and he's fluent in both languages. And as I'm talking to him, another dude was like, hey, what's going on? My name's Victor. I'm like, oh shit. He was more than one, so he was Brazilian from Brazil. He can speak English, Portuguese, and he can speak Mandarin pretty well. So that's when it shifts within the story. And I can start connecting some more of the dots of how the process works, but all in all, I still have no clue what I'm getting out. I just gotta sit. But definitely meeting the two English speakers made the time being a little bit more. Just because. One, I can communicate with somebody and express all the thoughts that's been going on in my head, and then, you know what I'm saying, just definitely learning y'all story. What the hell did y'all do for y'all to end up being, you know what I'm saying? So, and yeah. the native Chinese people that are like, what's y'all story? What y'all do? You know what I'm saying? And everybody background, the Russian dude, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what in the hell? What are the odds we all run into? Like, we meet each other for the first time in the Chinese penitentiary. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's just interesting, like, you know what I'm saying, just the routines and how the system works, and just the different kids, especially the different characters, and their backgrounds and shit. Like,
so, was there, like, all I know about this stuff is from what I'd see on TV. I just saw a documentary just a couple hours ago on tattoos, and they said in China, like, it's illegal to show tattoos on television. So, I mean, like, is there, like... I saw another comedy special one time where they actually did a comedy tour in China, and I can't remember what parts they went to, but yeah, there were signs up everywhere that were basically like warning you if you bring drugs here or there, yeah, things are going to be bad. So everybody was kind of timid in that special. So I just wondered, like, was there like communication or info about, like, did you know about how strict and crazy things were?
Honestly, like, when I got, you know what I'm saying, got the opportunity, I was just so thrilled to, one, just have a job after I just graduated from college, really. And I'm like, man, that's what I'm most thrilled about. And then I'm like, that's when I just had to, it's like an adventure to me, so I'm
yeah.
Like,
I'll figure it out as I go.
Hey, like, this is going to be fun. Like, that's all I'm looking at it as. Like, I ain't even really take the time to study, you know what I'm saying, China, how the laws work and all that other shit. Yeah, I'm like, shit, I just know it's going to be a vibe. I'm a great spirit. Another man, so it's like, shit, I know it's going to be, harmonious. And it was harmonious my last 14 days.
Okay, so this happened at the very end. After you were out, you were like, fuck this place, and bounced.
Oh, yeah, I mean, shit, once I got released, they deported me from the country immediately. Like,
oh.
Pack up the rest of my stuff, and then straight to it.
So they they deported you. Does that mean they paid for your flight, though?
No. I had to get somebody to pay for it. But I, you know what I'm saying, I ended up paying them back. But, like, I had to find somebody to pay for it. They wouldn't allow us to pay for it. But
that is weird.
There's no why in China. You can't ask why.
Real, so. Yeah. Are you, like, banned? Could you go back?
Not till 2024.
Oh, okay. So it's just temporary. Would you go back?
If it was given the opportunity to, for sure. Without a doubt, that would just bring everything full circle.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with, just with everything I've been able to accomplish and turn the negative into the positive and what I'm doing with it, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, it'll bring everything full circle, the whole journey. Up until just me finding my purpose and finding myself after, you know what I'm saying, I was going to play college ball. So
you were down there, you said, were you like working for a magazine or?
No, I was teaching English.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I was teaching English to kids as young as 3 years old all the way up to 14.
Okay. You just said there was that photo shoot with that guy, so I thought maybe.
Oh, yeah, that was just an opportunity I came across being in the club one time. And so that was a dope experience, too. Like, it was me, dude from South Africa, dude from New Zealand, and a dude from Dubai. So it was just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but we all are amongst Chinese photographers and all, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hairstylists and fashion designers. So it was just like, bro, what? Like, it's crazy, bro. Like, I'm just doing shit I never thought I'd be doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, out here at least. So
yeah, no, that's hilarious because so many people put so much work and effort and just like trying to get into some sort of modeling biz or something, and you just go somewhere else and walk down the street.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, oh yeah, we definitely want you to model for us. Like, I still got pictures. Like, the picture's hard. The picture's hard. We was modeling, yes, different companies, like, jackets and stuff, like, that deliver, like, they... We got the Grubhub and all these delivery services here. They been, but like they shit like actually professional. Like they got like they folks got to wear uniforms and stuff. So we was modeling, you know, saying the various companies, uniforms and stuff. That shit, that shot came out clean. I pulled it for my birthday. Like, yeah, stop playing with me. Like. Dope, man. I was lit. And the kids was dope, too. Working with the kids, man. Kids was lit, bro. It's, kids are kids no matter where you go in the world. You would think, okay, it's going to be China, so these kids going to be strict. Nah. Kids is kids, but hey.
I've watched the Jaden Smith Karate Kid a whole bunch, so I just assume they're all hoodlums.
Yeah.
They lit, man. But I was lived in, like, the east side of Beijing, so I was in the business district. So I'm with the folks that got money, quote unquote. So them kids were, I'm talking, I got kids coming to class with Gucci hats on, you know what I'm saying? Like, fresh, like clean, like stuff. But they were still bad. Like, they weren't, well, some of them were just bad. What, Raymond? I call Lil Ray. Ray was bad as hell. He's sitting there cutting up, like, bro, you gotta chill, right? You gotta chill, bro. Yeah, I had a fight break out of my class one time. This shit was crazy. I'm like, what the hell? That was the last thing I was expecting to happen, man. Me just being a former student not too long ago, like, fight break out of school, we sitting there watching. So I'm sitting there just watching shit. I'm like, oh.
You forgot what role you were.
I gotta step in. That shit, the kids was dope too. They made that shit lit.
So when you were locked up, you said you didn't have anything but a bowl and a spoon. Did they like just give you a bowl and a spoon, and then they'd come around and just fill it? Or?
Yeah, we don't leave the cell. So the chef, he come by the You walk the whole jail, drop off the lunch and dinner, breakfast, lunch and dinner to each cell.
Yeah.
Every meal is just pretty much like some form of soup. Some form of soup. Vegetable soup, carrot soup, chicken, carrot. You know, there's only one day we had something other than soup, and it was the lunch on a Tuesday. It was meatballs and gravy and white rice. That shit was so motherfucking live. That shit was so fire. That shit was good as hell. But aside that, man, just have a soup. I lost so much weight.
Well, yeah, I've been to jail a couple times, but only there long enough to get fed once, and they just dropped a Pop-Tart through that little slot.
One, not two.
No, it was a package. It's a package.
Damn, baby. We're going to give you one of them.
I mean, I was only there like 8 hours, but it just happened to be crossing into breakfast time, so then.
See, I ain't shit. When I was in my locked up 14 hours, I ain't eat at all. I ain't eat till the very next, like, when I woke up the next morning already in jail. That's when they came by. That's my first day. I ate like 24 hours. Over 24 hours. But I wasn't hungry either.
Yeah.
I was so much stress going on, so much shit going on. Last thing I was thinking about was eating. I'm
just, yeah, yeah.
Get out this shit.
So you didn't get any, so no phone call, no representation, no anything?
I wasn't able to make contact with anybody until my 7th day.
No.
Because, yes, I went a whole week just MIA, just, you know what I'm saying, sit. We had to find somebody to buy a plane ticket. Like, we met with the immigration, and we had to find somebody to buy a plane ticket. So they brought all the forms down, so you do it all at one time. And, all right, y'all go grab your phones and find somebody to buy y'all tickets, goddamn. We just need to find get their information so we can contact them to take a buy and shit like that. So that's when the first day I was able to make contact on the 7th day. And then on the 10th day, I met with the U.S. Embassy. But, I mean, that honestly was just a break out of the cell, for real, because it was a little shit. It was really good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was shit. It was just a good time to get out of the cell. Meet our representative. He was cool. White dude from Nebraska. that was pretty much it, though.
All right. So, a couple of things we usually just run through with the other guests. We already asked if you'd ever been arrested before. So, again, but you ever have any, like, crazy house parties or anything? You ever have to run from the cops when they kicked in and tried to arrest all the kids underage drinking or anything like that?
Personally, just me. I used to have a party or something.
I mean, you played college football, man. Things had to get wild somewhere.
All the law enforcement.
Oh, the law enforcement doesn't necessarily have to be there.
Oh, it actually, I do. Well, I ain't had to run, but I got caught hot box a lot. My senior year of college, I was smoking my car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 12 by the police. I got caught by like 4 times. But you know what I'm saying? I walked every single time just because I either had a little bit of it on me, or you know what I'm saying, or just because I played intern, I said, like, I played football, they just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just let me slide, you know what I'm saying? You just have a race car, so I never really didn't know, like, that was the very first, my very first serious situation was abroad. Like, that was very time. Like, it was all, go big or go home, I guess. So,
do you remember how much your plane ticket costs? Just curious. Maybe I want to go to Beijing.
Like 800.
That's not too bad.
No.
Especially for it to be like last minute. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that bad at all. So.
And so you had to pack up everything. Did you have, like, when they deported you? Was it like, I mean, your whole life more or less, right? So you had several trunks and shit?
I just brought hella clothes for the most part. I just brought hella clothes and shoes. I ain't really bring only, I think, like, I brought my PlayStation. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's probably about it. Like, same shit I would really take to college. So I'm like, once we get there, we're going to move to an apartment. So it's like, we might as well just go buy the shit up here, and it's going to be cheaper anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really know. I ain't really bring. Like, crazy. Folks, some folks brought whole ass desktops if they goddamn like all the women, you know, they goddamn got mad storage unit with them. So they, but yeah, I went over there with just what I needed for the most part. I needed me the toiletries and all that stuff, especially certain products that I wanted to make sure I had videos on. Like, I probably won't be able to find over there. And
shit. Yeah.
So I did it. But it didn't take as long as that.
So you wrote a book about the entire thing, though.
Yes, sir.
Is that already out?
Sir, 14 Days in Beijing. Ranked number one. Best selling.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So this has had its big success, so I'm just pushing the gas, you know what I'm saying, just continue to ramp the gas and, you know what I'm saying, diversify with the marketing scheme, putting myself out there, my spirit, and who I am, and then ultimately just my story at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, show for show.
Yeah.
What was the name of the book?
14 Days in Beijing.
Alright.
Okay. Hey, while you were locked up, did you have to put on a jumpsuit, or...
Yeah. So my uniform was a jacket. So I ain't had no shirt on. Like I said, I had no shirt, just a jacket. It's the closest jacket that I can find out here to resemble it is like a Dickie jacket.
Okay. Real stiff looking. And
but that's the exact like texture. Like that's exactly it. Like I'm like, this is the only thing that. It's Dickie's jacket, but it's not Dickie's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's that, and it's a top hat, front and back is yellow, and the bottom half is blue. And on the yellow, like right here on the chest, it says it's Chinese characters, red Chinese characters, Beijing 26. Same thing on the back, and red Chinese characters on the yellow. The motherfucker really hard now, like it's for real, but. And they get blue, like sweatpants, and then blue sandals. So that was the uniform. I had this. Well, that shit 14 days.
So you'd wear that jacket here, though. You'd wear it like...
Yeah. It sounds like your mugshots might be as dope as your magazine modeling.
Yeah, I created the jacket because I was only going to be able to find nothing like it over here, so I had to get it recreated. So I bought a Dickie's jacket.
Oh!
a blue one, and had this slime and gifts and over it. Make it do the exact replica.
We had
6 for real, and that's the cover of the book. Like I had a photo, put the jacket on, had a photo shoot.
Oh, all right. Oh wow!
Create my mugshot since I'm like, man, I wish I actually had the mugshot to use.
Yeah.
Recreate it, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I bought a really sweet black Dickie's jacket one time, and then I left it. Like on a job site, like within 24 hours, and lost it.
Boy, damn, sick. I know that's sick.
Yeah, I think about it all the time.
All right. Well,
now if you don't, you have anything else you want to share? Anything crazy? Anything else? Or yeah, I know. Yeah, we talked about your book.
That's just about as crazy as it got for me.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
It is.
Yeah, no crazy to do that.
Yeah, no, that metal chair thing, that's the craziest thing I can imagine. So, I just don't even know why.
There's no why.
No, it was definitely fun talking to you.
Thanks for coming on.
We'll post some stuff about this. I'll let you know when this is about to come out, and then we'll definitely link your book to it. So
yeah, just Google it. Just go to Google 14 Days Vision or Google Chancellor. Okay, do that. I'll write it up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Fun talking to you, and we'll be in touch.
Right, blessings and powers.
All right.
Absolutely. Bye. Take it easy.
And we're back. All right. That was Out of This World. And a fun little story about being locked up in either a Beijing jail or a prison. I don't know if they have a difference. But.
Yeah. Maybe like the part where he's getting strapped into a chair. Like, that would fuck me up. It'd be really hard for me to just, okay, strap me in. Like, it'd be so hard for me to. But at the same time, like, I wouldn't know what the fuck was going on. Like, maybe they'll just kill me without the straps. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they'll just beat my balls. Okay. I don't know what they do. But yeah, I mean, so I mean, we had some interesting observations in our previous outro, the one that's lost in time forever.
But you said you found it.
Oh, I did find it. Maybe we can release it someday with bonus content.
To our Patreon supporters.
Yeah. Oh, if you guys want to submit some funds to my defense, you can reach you can send that to... No, I should have created a whatever they have, Cash App, GoFundMe, whatever thing. Have you seen those where kids are driving around now, like, just turned 21, buy me a drink, and they have like a Venmo thing on their back windshield?
No.
Oh man, I've been seeing that, like, I've seen it like 4 or 5 times now within the past few months.
Although when I was attending that horror convention, we also went to Medieval Times. And our server, like, starts giving us our, like, Cash App and shit and Venmo and stuff for tips. Like, they don't handle cash right there at all.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the first time I'd seen that. It really made me feel like a fucking little hillbilly in a big city.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's what you were, so. Oh. You were like Tucker and Dale.
We're not that fucking far away from each other.
And over here, we're the college kids.
I live in an actual... What? In fact, that weekend, your college football was here playing our team. And lost.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't care.
Go Razorbacks. Versus the what? I don't even know. The Cowboys?
No.
Did the Razorbacks beat the Cowboys?
No. I mean, the Lil Cowboys? Like Lil Giants?
Yeah, yeah. So, Chancellor Jackson, his book, 14 Days in Beijing... So he actually was in Beijing a lot longer than 14 days. I did think about that. His book is, I guess the title is only in reference to, here's a book about 14 days in Beijing. Ignore the previous 60 days or whatever.
I mean, he had interesting stories before and after, or before anyways. They made it.
Yeah. So that's bonus content. You don't even get that in the book. Maybe you do. I don't know.
I mean, it might be in the book. Have you read it?
How do you make that interesting in written and prose?
I don't know. I think I could make just walking down the street and being told I'm a model.
Yeah.
And put into magazines. Fairly interesting.
Oh, in the I'll save it. We do a whole thing where we talk about how we could be models as frumpy dad models. Yeah, I do have the original outro, so when you hear the outro music, the Justin Wells Age of Aggression music that we fade out our show to, you'll hear the comedy bits that I insert in that. They will actually be from the original intro and outro, so they won't make any sense to you. You won't have heard them during this intro and outro, and after the outro fades out, I do have about 2 minutes of extra material that I kept and separated from everything else just because it was a funny rant that we were on that had nothing to do with Chancellor Jackson and his book. So listen all the way to the end. You'll at least hear part of what was in the lost recordings. Yeah, the Lost Worlds.
I don't remember it, so I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah, no, it's some fun stuff. It's actually stuff I wish we had. I'm glad we got it on audio. I wish we had put it on video. But it's not eye drops. So, yeah. It's a fun episode. Check out Chancellor Jackson. Or check him out. Apparently, he's a good-looking guy. I have his social media here. Give me a second. No, yeah. I saw his jacket, too, on his... if you look at his book, you can see that jacket. And it is a pretty dope-looking jacket. So, let me see. I actually will edit some of this down, because now we just have dead air of me trying to find his name. Not find his name, but find his handle. Yeah. Okay, so you can find him on social medias. It looks like Korla J, but it's K-O-R-L-E-H-J. So that's on, you know, Twitter and Instagram and the other, Snapchat and all that stuff. So, yeah, reach out to him. He was a really nice guy, had a fun story. And, yeah, there's that. Yep. I'm Eric.
And I'm Scotty.
And now we have to say like and subscribe and all that shit.
Give it a pause and say that, and then the names thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess we've ruined our gold star standard for intros and outros.
Making it worse. Just shut up and do it.
Okay. So like and subscribe. Yeah. If you like the show, tell a friend. Definitely spread the word. Especially with this one, gold star episode. And you can find us on social medias at true.criminals.podcast.
And if you have any fun stories that you don't want to come on as a guest and just have us read, email us. TrueCriminalsJailPod@gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm Eric.
And I'm Scotty.
This was True Criminal. All right, that's enough of Brown Town. How many corners does this neighborhood have? She's like, oh, you're using eye drops now? This isn't good audio. It's stupid. Goddamn. Now I'm going to be blind for the rest of the show.
Just to be clear, all you've done in this game is get out of the cage.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, they're about to execute him.
Oh, man. So, in the early days of YouTube, I had this idea for a video that I never made, but it was going to be me taking a bottle of No More Tears shampoo and then just holding my eye open and pouring it straight into my eye to see if it really worked. Like, No More Tears.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have been a good video, but...
I don't know. I bet you could make a bit out of, like... somebody grabbing some No Tears shampoo to help someone stop crying.
Oh, yeah, well, that'd be pretty good. Take some, like it's a baby. I can't get him to stop crying.
Or maybe like a, you know, like a woman in distraught type thing. She's crying on a like out on like a street corner or something, and some guy comes up and just like real slowly, like it looks like he's using his thumb to rub her tears away, but he just smears some No Tears in there.
And then he turns to the camera.
Oh, what the fuck is that?
Turns to the camera and holds up the bottle. No More Tears. All right, well, these are good bits. Actually, I like these.
And while she's freaking out, she's also like, who are you showing that bottle to?
And then he says, I gotta go! He runs off, dives into a bush. And then she says, I can still see you in the bush. Well, that's a good bit. We should have recorded that whole thing.